We're going to another word, and we'll be having my dear brother, a covenant brother, Obuega. We call ourselves brothers. And I hope we can continue to call ourselves brothers, because we are. He's the president of the Kingdom Park Workers Ministry. People who want to walk on the path. Kingdom has a path. And that's the path that leads us to go beyond boundaries. The Lord has kept him, and he has stayed where God has him to stay. I remember over the years when he moved to Warri. You know, somebody will be wondering and say, why are you going there? But that's the place that the Lord asked him to stay. And he has been there. No agitation, no worry. Doing the work of the Lord. And today we are going to have him before we have the final session. And then we'll pray and be on our way. I want you to please join me to welcome Brother Obuega.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this moment. We thank you because you have brought us well to this point. We thank you, Lord, for the Excellence Christian Center. Thank you, Lord, for JCOM, Jesus Company of Ministers. Thank you, Lord, for the vessels that you have used for us already. Thank you for what you have prepared for us at this point. Lord, we ask that you glorify your name and let us be blessed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, ma. I want to thank God for everyone, the apostles, that was just a blessing to us. I'm meeting you for the first time today, so the apostolic grace is still more grace, sir. More grace. You're welcome, man. So the leadership of JCOM, thank you for the opportunity. God bless you. Pastor Philip, I'm still meditating, sir. God bless you. I want to appreciate each one of us that has decided to be here, and not just to be here, but to be here to be blessed by God. It takes God to make us to be here. We could have been in different places. So I want to thank us so much. I also come here with the greetings from my wife. She happens to be somewhere that I ought to be. So we divided ourselves for her. God bless us in Jesus' name. So looking further at beyond boundaries, there's a place in the Bible that we were told that certain things have been laid upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. I don't know if Pastor Philip would like to enter the apostolic prophetic, but foundations have been laid already for us this morning. And my role, my responsibility is also to build on what has been laid so that we can together get to where God expects us to be. Beyond boundaries, taking your ministry to the next level. Now, there are many key words for us to look at there. Beyond boundaries, we'll look at it. It says, taking your ministry. It is not the ministry of another person. Your ministry. There's a place Apostle Paul said, the ministry that you have received from the Lord, take it that you may fulfill it. So we are looking at your ministry. And by the way, we are looking at my ministry. So I have a responsibility by the team of this conference to take that ministry to the next level. A man by the pool had been in a situation for many years. And when Jesus came, he was still expecting somebody to push him into the water each time the angel arrives. And guess what? Nobody did that. And so we are going to be encouraged this morning, this afternoon, to take responsibility, to understand what God would have us do so that our ministries can go to the next level. Indeed, we have been in ministry for years. We were told there are leaders here and there are emerging or developing or growing leaders. So the reason why you are here is because you have a feeling, you have a knowing in your heart that God has a purpose for you, that God has a plan for you. There's a responsibility that God will have you do in the midst of his people. And so we understand that there is nobody here who has no place in ministry. So let's start with that statement or that phrase, beyond boundaries. While we're looking at beyond boundaries, the question is, who created the boundaries that we're trying to look beyond? Are the boundaries created by us? Or the boundaries are created by the church? Or the boundaries are created by the society? Has the boundary been created by God? And although God told man of God not to mention Satan in that conference, that crusade, but has that boundary been created by Satan? Now, where I would like to anchor my message on is like on reimagining your ministry, and that will bring us to the place of us thinking together individually and collectively. Let me say that again. While we are seated right now, I want us to be thinking together as a whole, and I want us to be thinking together as individuals. Remember, it is about taking our own unique ministries to the next level. So there are things that I'll be saying that will make sense as a whole, but there will be things that you will have to process personally to make sense to yourself as a person. Beyond boundaries, what is the essence of a boundary? We always create boundaries for a reason. You don't want anybody, any out person to approach a space, and so you set a boundary. In Abuja here, when you buy a land, the first thing you almost want to do is to fence it, and then you put a gate. So you tell yourself you have fenced your land, you've secured it. We're told about comfortable or comfort zone today. And so you can see that there's a role that each of us has to play in setting boundaries for our lives. And so when you are starting out in ministry, it is possible that you are also responsible for setting the boundaries of your own ministry. It is possible that you go on retreats, seeking the face of God to know the boundaries of your ministry. Now, Pastor Sulola said something. Pastor Mrs. Sulola said something about the father of Abraham. The assignment from God was go to the land of Canaan, but he settled somewhere. So God gave him an assignment. We can also begin to think maybe God gave him a boundary. But the question is, what kind of boundary did God give to him? Was it expected to be a permanent boundary? Or it was expected to be a momentary boundary? Because in a momentary kind of boundary, the kind of structure you build will be momentary. Things that can be moved. And so when God says it's time to go to the next place, you pack your load, you pack whatever, like somebody that was asked to go to the village and says, no, I want to stay in the city or go to the nations. So God says, let's go to the village. You pack everything. You say, let me go and set up, so to say, a boundary in another place. So we can also create our own boundaries. And we often do that to secure the space. We can also do that beyond secure to define the space. So that when people are looking for what is that portion that belongs to so, 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 and so, you will say, this is my portion. So we can create boundaries ourselves. But guess what? Boundaries can also be the limitation for whatever God would have us do. Perhaps if those boundaries are not there, we could see farther. We could see further. We could receive more people. Perhaps we're able to go into other things.
But by the boundaries, we are kept in a space. And so we want to look at how we can begin to imagine or reimagine the ministries that God has given us so that we are not limited by boundaries. Even though boundaries could play positive roles, they don't end up halting the growth of the ministry. I want us to open our Bibles together to the book of Haggai. There's something I wanted to say before preaching. I forgot. But somebody might need to be blessed by it. So I'm coming back because the Holy Spirit has not allowed me to go on. So when I was coming, normally I was supposed to call Pastor Ben, Pastor Sulola, that how can I find address, direction to here? So I said, I don't want to call him. Let me find the RSVP on the... So I called the number. So the true caller eventually revealed the identity to me eventually. So I called Daddy and he gave me an address. So I thought I knew the way initially. I followed the address. I entered, so I was going into the Sun City. So before I realized, opposite Sun City, there's nothing at the other side. So my wife told me, no, it must be other side of the express. So I came to the express. I did not see anything that I could connect with. So I tried to call his number. It wasn't going at that moment. So, but the address he gave me, that was enough for me. But I didn't know. So as soon as I was trying to drive, I was going to the other side so that I would go. I know there's another estate where you go far down and then you turn. So that was my plan. As soon as I started driving, suddenly his address that he gave to me started working. I saw something and I will still talk about it. Then I saw it and I said, ah, thank God. That's how I turned back. Now this is something he did. He gave me an address and I want us to, his leadership, please. Pastor Ben that would have called is very fantastic with address. But I saw another leadership example. So he told me, when you get to that place, you will see a big signboard for full Bible school, Rema. He said, I will see that signboard. Then he told me what to do when I see it. But sir, when I got to that place, it wasn't just Rema that I saw eventually. I saw the signboard of the church. But he didn't tell me, you will see the signboard of the church. He said, you see Rema. And the Rema signboard is bigger than the signboard of the church. And every person will say, you will see the address, the of the excellence. If he had said that, I would have missed it. Because as I was going, I just saw Rema and I stopped. That's leadership. And that's humility. And that's many other things that Apostle has spoken about. Thank you very much, sir. Because if you don't... Describing direction to people is almost like leading people in life. If you are not fantastic at doing that, you may not be able to tell people how people will find their destiny. So, God bless you, sir. The Holy Spirit made me to come back so that we can see leadership from there. In the book of Haggai, Haggai chapter 1, from verse 1. But because of the complexities of the names in Haggai chapter 1, verse 1, let's jump to verse 2. The verse 2 says, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, these people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. It hasn't come. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your panelled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And that's why I'm focusing on reimagining your ministries or your ministry. Now, something was happening and God wanted to change the situation as it concerns the people and his name and his glory in the midst of his people. But the people said, it is not yet time. The change that we also want is not yet time. We cannot begin to work for change that we desire when we think it's not time to change. And so they said it's not time for that. And God says, is it time for you to dwell in your panelled houses and my own house lies in ruins? Pastor Kola said something about God is not having us to be building certain things, but the focus is that we should build something else. And I took note of that. He says, what was the first statement that God gave to them? He says, consider your ways. That statement, consider, is very important for us to look at. The other place that I saw consider and I loved it was when God was talking to Satan concerning Job. Have you considered my servant? So the question is, what was God saying about that consider? And so the Bible is telling us now, God speaking, he says, consider your ways. Your ways are your ways. They are peculiar to you. Of course, you should know about it. But God is saying, consider it. If everything is fine with your ways, will God still ask you to consider it? So it means there are certain things. It may not be everything, please. You may have 7 ways, and you are fantastic with 5 of them. But God knows that the 2 must not be if you will fulfill your destiny. So God says, consider your ways. Now, if your ways are plenty, bring them for a closer examination. Bring them closer to yourself. Don't just be busy here and there. The things you do and you do on a daily basis, become conscious of the implications of all of them. What would you achieve with the things you are doing? If you continue to follow this same path, will you get to your destination? Will you be able to accomplish everything that God wants you to do if you continue like this? They said it's only somebody that has mental insanity that will continue to do the same thing, the same way, and expect a different result. So we have been doing things in a certain ways. God is asking us, it's God, this is not a man of God speaking. God is asking us to consider ways. God knows that we love our ways. God knows that we can become personal with our ways. Yet God wants us to consider them. God loves us. God loves the work we are doing. But the ways that we are using to do the work, God wants us to look at it again. Is there anything to shift? Is there anything to add? Is there anything to subtract? The goal is that you can fulfill your destiny. God does not want us to be busy without being effective. And there are deeper things that we're going to learn from this. Sorry that I'm sharing the book of Haggai in this manner, but we are going to be looking at something that can help all of us. Let's go to verse 6 together. Haggai chapter 1, verse 6. Because somebody could be asking, brother, what is the reason for me to consider my ways? Can't I just continue the way it has always been? I've been in ministry for 16 years, 30 years. Why should I change it? Now, if your story looks like what is in Haggai chapter 1, verse 6, then please start to consider your ways. Now, let's look at it together. He says, you have sown much. You have given up so much. You have given out so much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with the drink or with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And Pastor Kola was talking about a man that left, or people that have left ministry because they were trying to get job, and in the long run they could not combine ministry with the job, and so they had to leave the one that was not paying the children's school fees for the one that was paying children's school fees. So he says, and you earn wages, and he who earn wages, so it's not all of them, he who earn wages to put into a bag with us. So the reason why we want to consider our ways this afternoon is because we don't want to be in this situation anymore. And if at all we have never been there, we never want to be there. We don't want to be in a situation where we are sowing, we are giving up so much. In Nigeria, for instance, if there's any group of people that sacrifice most, I want to say pastors are doing it. Whether you think the pastor is succeeding or is not succeeding, the man is sacrificing or the woman is sacrificing a lot. You are giving your time. When you ought to eat, you are fasting. When you ought to be socializing, you are inside seeking the face of God for the people. So you are sowing. The little you have, you share with the members. You are sowing. But the Bible says you bring in little. You eat and you don't have enough. It says when you even earn wages, you are putting it into holes. The question is, who created the holes? Should the holes remain? Very soon we start seeing God's perspective to this matter. If you are in that situation, you have been in ministry for years. Every time you make money, let's use Nigerian time, you earn money, you make money. Somehow, you can't explain it. The children are still not getting enough school fees paid. So God is telling you that consider your ways because God wants to address that matter. Now let's continue from verse 7. The Bible says, but thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. This is coming for the second time. So somebody could be asking, okay, this is coming for the second time. I should consider my ways. The question is, what is even God's strategy for me to consider my ways? So let's look at it from verse 7 together. Verse 8. Agai chapter 1, verse 8. God was speaking. He said, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified. God does not want this situation to continue. So to fix it, God says, this is what you will do, woman of God. This is what you will do, man of God. You will go up to the mountains. Don't forget, you have been sowing so much. You've been trying to earn your wages so that you can take care of yourself. But the word of God is, you will go up to the mountains. The question is, you know, I said there are things I will say that you have to be looking at it as a person. What do the mountains represent? God says, go to the mountains. When you get to the mountains, you will find wood, then bring the wood. When you get the wood, what will you do? Build the temple. Somebody can say, oh, sir, you are talking about somebody in a difficult situation. You are telling him to go to the mountain. It's like you are even giving him more things to do. How does this connect with solving his problem? How is it that doing all this, we make what he earns going forward? To start staying in holes, in pocket without holes. How can he get to a point that you earn money, no matter how little, you have a reserve of it. A reserve that you can even use to pursue other purposes of God. You know, it's possible you earn big, but before you can even use it to do something big for God, you have depleted it indirectly or knowingly to yourself. And when you get to the purpose of God, you are where you earn money, but you can't find enough to finish it. So how can we address this? God says, go up to the mountains. Can somebody say, go up to the mountains? God is not telling daddy, friends, relatives, church members to do it for you. God says, you go up to the mountains. He says, bring the wood. When you bring it, then build the temple. The question is, if it's that simple, why have they never done it? God says, you were living in panelled houses and my own house lies in ruins. So, your panelled houses are different, so to say, from the house of God. So what is the temple here? To you. Please, I want to say this. I am not saying we should not build beautiful places. In fact, since I've gotten here, I've been thanking God for the excellence and the grace of God. So please, let's understand, I love here. But please, do we all accept the reality that there are issues in Nigeria? All of us here are Nigerians, so let's focus. Perhaps somebody is watching online and you are in another country. I also believe there are issues in your country. We have churches, sir, man. We have churches. Pastor said somebody came from Cameroon. They didn't meet churches. There was a time I also lived in Katsina. When you're coming from Katsina, you won't see churches until you get to Zaria. And when you get to a certain point in Zaria, it will be church, 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 church. Why? So let's leave that. So churches are everywhere. Sometimes in Lagos, you will see a church underground, a church up. Sometimes you can even see the same denomination but different branches. And yes, yes, ma, it happens in Lagos. And they could even belong to different provinces, different zones. And so they are competing for the same set of people. You know, Pastor said we are in recycling membership. So if the only thing that gives God glory, see, there was a time in the times of Israel that God derived pleasure in his temple, physical temple being built. But now we are building temples. And our situation is not particularly so changing to the proportion of our temples. And so maybe God is also looking at another kind of temple. While we build the temples, learning from the theory or the principle of Jesus, this you ought to have done without leaving others undone. So while we are building the beautiful places, and then we are also looking at what is that thing that's very critical in the heart of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe, maybe verse 16. He says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if we skip that and just conclude that the people of God are the temple of God. And so God says, go to the mountains. Don't wait in the valley. Maybe there will be nothing there. Everybody is competing in the valley. You go to the mountain. Caleb could go to the mountain. Everyone couldn't do it. So you go to places where people can go to. Go to dimensions people don't find comfortable. Stretch yourself. Believe God for more. Apostle was sharing the testimony of the crusade. More. Inside that, there is still more. So do that. The essence of you going up is not so that you can find pleasure in the up. The presence is because of the people. He says, when you bring the wood, you go up. You bring the wood as if that's not important, then build the temple. If you succeed in the other two and you fail at building the temple, you have not succeeded in ministry. So God says, build the temple. So what aspect of the people needs to be built? Can we look at people genuinely and say, how can I help you? How can I serve you? Without even talking to them one-on-one, you can ask God. These people, your people, like the Solomon said, your great people, how can I help them? What is their immediate, what is their short-term, long-term need that I can help with? So let's say somebody is an unbeliever, and then you come that Jesus is Lord. Okay, let me give an example. I was coming now. I met a group of people. They could be Jehovah Witness or another church. I thought I was dressing, looking like a man of God indirectly. But they were still trying to. So I told him, a woman, or the people that came, I said, I'm okay, I'm doing something, can you excuse me? I packed, I was doing something on my body. I said, the woman did not go. And she was almost rude to the point that after she did not understand all my pleas, I had to drive away from her, now repack somewhere else to continue what I was doing. So let's say I'm a sinner, or I was a sinner, and she needed me to give my life to Christ. By the way, she didn't say I should be born again, she wanted to give me an B, a tract. So, how many Nigerians are interested in our tracts? Since we've been going around the street and people have been giving us tracts, how many have we read? They are fantastic, please. But I'm looking at a sinner not also aware of the benefit of even listening to us or collecting something from us. How do we then get this man's problem solved in the name of Jesus? And the person is, and we are saying, in the name of Jesus, this your problem has been solved. Go and sin no more. So I will give a very funny example that is not direct. Let's say somebody has housing problem, accommodation problem, and the person is becoming a mess. And you say, in the name of Jesus, I'm giving a harmless example. In the name of Jesus, take this. Go and pay the house rent. Take your family away from the streets. In the name of Jesus, sir, by what means have you supported me, sir? In the name of Jesus, go. Go and get your family's dignity back to order. Now, what kind of loyalty can that person demonstrate to Jesus? Compared to, brother, good morning, I want to tell you Jesus is Lord. And the person is remembering all the problems in the house. The person may just need food. Now, why am I talking like this as if I'm not a man of God? Jesus, I mean, God was speaking himself. He says, you have so much, you bring in little. You eat. God was dealing with food. He said, you eat. You don't have enough. So if God can be dealing with basic issues, we might also need to be doing it. So as we are building the kingdom, and I will give us one example, please. Jesus gathered the people to talk to them. And they were with Jesus for days. And Jesus was done with them, so to say. Jesus had solved their spiritual problems. So the question is, would he send them away? And Jesus said, if I send them away, they may faint along the way. Let's get them something to eat. For me, that is Jesus moving to another dimension that we will say, oh God, that kind of ministry. No, we can't even finance it. So can we begin to imagine people who ate Jesus' food wanted to make him king? That means Jesus touched their hearts. They wanted to follow him. I'm not saying that is the only way to connect with people, but beyond us just preaching to them, can we also look at other dimensions of gaining people that will be faithful, loyal followers or disciples of Jesus Christ? This for you could be you thinking about your ways. Now, let's conclude with this. By the way, look at that statement that we just read. In that verse 8, he says that I may take pleasure and in it. When you do it, God is not saying that you will necessarily enjoy it. Sir, the only money in your hand, you have given it to somebody. You may not laugh about it. God is not telling you to do the things you will laugh about. That's why we're told at the first message about obedience. We're also told about Abraham that left. So God is asking you to do something. God says that I may take pleasure in the things you will do. So it's not about your pleasure, it's about God's pleasure. So the dimensions of ministry that God might be awakening you to might not mean something you will naturally want to go for. But will God take pleasure in it? Then please go ahead. And he says that I may be glorified. So it's not about your glory, it's about God's glory. Because the reason why we are looking at this is very simple. Let's continue from verse 9, and that's how we are concluding. He says, you look for much. God is almost hammering this matter. He says, you look for much, you seek for much. But indeed, it came to little. And when you brought it home, can somebody read that? When you bring it home, I did blow upon it. Yes. I blew it away. That's NKJV, sir. I blew it away. Is it your enemy doing it? The one who called you to ministry, sir. He says, I blew it away. And that is why I'm talking about this. So somebody can say, this thing is not convenient. This thing is not easy for me. Let me just continue the way I've been doing it for years. See, if you continue, God may continue to blow it off. You can even begin to think you were actually busy where God was blowing it up. God will not blow it up in a way that you may not. God will still blow it up in a way that God will still benefit. You may just have nothing to show for it. Because maybe it's not credited against your obedience. It's not like God is looking at what he asks you to do and you have done, and he now says, for doing it, I credit you. You didn't do what God asks you to do, so you don't get to benefit from the outcome. So the things you are doing that you are busy with, it could be God blowing it up. Nothing to show. But God says, I blew it away. And God says, why? God wants to help us. He says, says the Lord of hosts. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins. Are there men and women who have been in ruin? Are there ladies in ruin? Are there marriages in ruin? The Holy Spirit is making me to share this testimony, but it's not within my scope of comfort. So somebody who has been misbehaving close to us, but misbehaving, right? Misbehaving in marriage and life, entered the debt and a mess of 400,000. And I actually need money personally for my own personal issues. So I tried to be a strong man, and the mess was almost dividing the marriage. So when I was brought more into the matter, the Holy Spirit just said, do you know the solution to this, their mess that looks very big to them? He said, that 400,000, I should pay it. It's not. It wasn't easy. And I'm saying it seriously. It wasn't easy for me. I was not happy with the person. But God says, that will fix their marriage. And this man that we are talking about, he has a place in God in ministry. So please look at that. These people know Bible. People can know Bible. This is what I'm saying. Believers can be in mess. And you'll be asking, but you have preached against this mess in the past. The person just needed money at that moment. He said, go. God will be with you. God bless you. It can work. But maybe that thing that will stop the marriage. The husband that stayed away from the house. Marriage was scattering. They don't even know where the husband is. So, why the person, we can pray, let's organize crusade to fix their marriage. God just said this. Now, thank God that 400 was available. If it was not available, we'll still continue to pray. But I'm giving us an example. And please, look at this. This person also, let's continue the blowing up. Sir, you use the blow up, so I want to continue, sir. This person also got into a mess by making a mistake. Used a whole 400,000 to fill a car that was a rickety car and still wanted to sell so that he can recover the money. So when they refused to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That was it. Blowing it up. Pastor Kola said, and he prayed that prayer to us twice. Let us not be a people that God will be using all these funny things to bring us into shape. The man that could not pick anybody's call, that was angry with everybody, was not sending me message as if I was an angel. And the wife is now happy. High BP has calmed down. Everything is fine. So there was no prayer. It was just obeying God, sir. Obedience. Obey God. Please, if I didn't do it, guess what? Wherever that money came from my own side, God will blow it up. Many of us can witness that we cannot lie against ourselves. Before Tinubu scattered, so to say, or rearranged the economy, we had some money that, so to say, they were blew up. Now, we wish we did better with the money in those days. Everything has changed. If you bought a car before Tinubu, that car is worth more than double. So let us not say, people, maybe in the next 20, by 2030 now, let us not be thanking God for today. Let us not be saying today was better than 2030. Can we start looking at ourselves? What is it that we are doing? Let's consider it. How can God take pleasure in it? And how can He be glorified? When God can take pleasure in the things that I do, even though they may not be comfortable, it could be that all you do is to have an oversight over 12 people. If you can be faithful with that and God takes pleasure, God will make sure the little you earn becomes much to you. God will make sure. Let's continue. And my time is gone. I'm already on a grace period. And I will leave here before 5 minutes. He says, because of my house that is in ruins. He says, while every one of you runs to his own house, my house is in ruins. Therefore, because of that, nothing more. You didn't slap anybody. Nothing more. He says, therefore, the heavens above you with all the dew, and the earth without its fruit. For I have called forth a drought on the land and on the mountains, on the grain and on the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men, on livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. I called forth a drought. You can't blame the witches and wizards in the village. Yoruba people have this saying that the devil has power but does not have salvation. I don't know if I say it very well. Ishulagbara ko ni igbala. Please look at that scripture in Romans. He said, with the heart you believe. Then with the mouth, you confess unto your salvation. There are things that happen to us that is not necessarily the devil. And it's not the witches and the wizards. They could be powerful, but they've never killed us. That means they are not that powerful. So don't go about blaming the devil for everything that goes wrong around you. Can you reconsider and consider your ways? Can somebody even be in ministry and still be in error? So when we don't keep status quo, what we read from 9 downward is what we see. And let me put it in my simple language. Your labor increases when you maintain status quo. Like as it is, let it be. You continue to increase in your labor. And I pray that's not for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Labor increases for the person, not us. Result, good result, they slow down. Frustration set in. God's blessing is not seen. And the ministry doesn't grow. When something doesn't grow, it will die. So there are people that are hopeless. There are people that are helpless. There are people that are homeless. There are people that are in different situations. Can you start seeing how you can build them up for God? People are going through financial issues. People are going through emotional marital issues. People are going through personality disorder issues. They can't behave well. They don't behave well. Nobody wants to do business with them. They say yes, they mean no. And they are believers. There are people like that. There are people who cannot stand for anything in life. They fall for everything. Pastor said, don't bow. They bow for everything. There are people like that in the church, in our midst. Let's build them up. Is there any feeble knees among us? Let's strengthen them. Together, we are greater than each one of us. We have been talking about unity, but when you unite riffraffs, people that are not capable, and you unite together, can they make something good happen? So they say, two good heads are better than one. Let us build people up so that when they are united as it is in Genesis, God said, these people are one. And there's nothing that they begin to imagine that will be withheld from them. People of God, God has a plan for each one of us. God wants us to be great. We cannot become financial bodies on the journey overseas. God wants the members to be financially empowered. Let's rise up, not physically here. Let's rise up personally. Let's take responsibility. The boundaries may not necessarily be good forever. Let's go beyond it. Let's take our ministries to the next level. And I want us at this moment to pray to God. We can bow our heads if we can, but we don't need to rise. Let's just talk to God. Our commitment, like somebody saying, Lord, this is my commitment. I will not continue to hand so much and put it in pocket with holes. I will not continue to sow so much and have little or nothing to show for it. I will not continue to have the things that you have given me being blown up by you yourself. Lord, from today, I will start converting what you give to me to fulfill and to accomplish the task you have assigned me. I will start using what you have given me to do your work. I will start helping the helpless. I will start giving hope to the hopeless. Apostle Paul says, if you are being called a teacher, then teach. Whatever your ministry is, I will start doing it. I will not restrict it to the little boundaries that I've created for myself. I will expand my frontiers. I will expand my tents. I will see more in God. I will go up to the mountains. My eyes will be opened in the name of Jesus. I will begin to believe God for bigger things, for greater things, greater territories, greater opportunities. I'll begin to maximize. God will be glorified in my life. God will be glorified in my marriage. God will be glorified in my ministry. I will not be somebody that is sending help letters. I will be the one giving help to others. I rise up at this moment. I take responsibility for moving my ministry to the next level. My ministry will give pleasure to your name. God, you'll be glorified in my ministry. Oh, whether my ministry is to the children or to the adults, God will be glorified in my ministry. If it is a prayer ministry, God will be glorified in my ministry. If it is building orphanage homes, God will be glorified. If it is building hospitals, building schools, God will be glorified. If it is setting up companies, God be glorified. We are bringing solution to the problems of men. We are saying, in the name of Jesus, we solve your problem. In the name of Jesus, we fix the issues. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we do mighty things. In addition to casting out demons, we are building the cities that are ruined. We are setting up big structures for God. We are attracting large set of people. All the churches here are expanding into newer territories. All churches here are expanding to newer territories. We are doing so much for God, and people are coming of their own accord. They are saying they are coming to the God that is upon this mountain. We are coming to the God that solves our problem on this mountain. Father, we bless your holy name.